Well, hi, everybody. Welcome. As promised, here we are in the 4 o'clock hour of the Pat Miller program on this Thursday, a rather special Thursday. I never, and I mean never, give a guest an hour of broadcast time on the Pat Miller program, but we're flat out doing it today because sitting right here is more than just the beautiful, the lovely, the talented, the inimitable. She really is, to me, a total compadre in what it is that we do. And she has proven herself again to be what I told you all 2 days ago. She, in fact, is a bona fide journalist, but she's sitting here, Kayla Blakeslee. Kayla, welcome home.
I don't know that I look that beautiful right now, well, but I'll take it.
On the other side of the room, though, I'm here. So, yes, you're still beautiful. So we talked the other day. You went through all the hassles of the flights and the delays and the blacked out plane, and you're on there an hour and a half. You finally get to the border, and it's later than you had thought you'd get there. So most people would think on that first night in, you get there, you check in, you have dinner, you freshen your face.
I wish.
but you ended up being at a place on the very first night that maybe you weren't even aware you were going to end up.
No, that first night was so wild. It went nothing like we were told it was going to go. I mentally prepare myself for that kind of stuff anyway in these situations. When you're in the media, the itinerary changes.
Yeah.
Rapidly. For example, we finally got into our room. We had to make some last minute equipment stops at Best Buy. So by the time we got checked in our room, it was about 5 o'clock, and I got a phone call from the chief of staff of Congressman Banks's office saying, hey, if you can be at this location in 20 minutes, you can have a conversation with Congressman Madison Cawthorn.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay. All right. So, you know, quick change of the clothes and out the door we were. And what I didn't realize is I wouldn't come back into my hotel that night until about 3 o'clock in the morning, simply because what happened is I had quite a few interviews that I got to conduct with several members of the delegation that were there on behalf of the Republican Study Committee. And then there was a brief dinner. And after that dinner, it was really great. There was five different media outlets there. And I'm including WoWo as one of them. The other four were all national. We had Politico. We had CBS. We had CNN, Washington Post, The Hill. And I believe that was it.
Okay. And not only at the dinner, but this whole thing, you were the only local
journalist that was
down there.
It was remarkable.
That's amazing. That speaks to
it's
Jim
remarkable.
Banks.
I had to pinch myself even at one moment. And I'll be really transparent. I don't watch a ton of national TV news. Not my jam. However, I do recognize Jim Acosta, for example,
sure,
from CNN, and I had to pinch myself because, like, I don't know, maybe a yard or two to my left, you know, it's like there's Jim Acosta hanging out with the CNN crew, and I'm like, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
You know, a few brief moments of that.
But you were there primarily because of the efforts of Jim Banks, and then you mentioned his chief of staff, and I just need to say here that with David Keller, that guy works as hard for us as anybody does.
He is one of the few men out there that he's a diamond in the rough.
Yep.
I mean, Congressman Banks is really lucky to have him, and Keller's from the area. He knows the area. He's a really remarkable person.
So then you go to the dinner,
yep,
and that's all pretty much pre-planned and all that. You meet with Cawthorn, but then all at once this opportunity comes up, and the next thing you know, it's the middle of the night, and you're at the border.
Yeah, the next thing we know, Congressman Banks and the guides we were with were like, hey, y'all want to head to the border tonight? And naturally, most of us, I won't say all of us, most of us were like, yep, let's go. I mean, that's exactly what we did. And we ended up arriving. We went to a small town called La Jolla. Population, just about 4,000. It's right outside of McAllen, Texas. And that's where we were. And I want to preface this by saying, like, different areas of Texas, Arizona, California, just like around here, you have nicer areas and you have not so nice areas. And so we were along a portion of the border wall that was fairly safe. I would give it on a scale of like 1 to 10 being really dangerous. We were about a 5. So we weren't in an overly like real dangerous, scary area, but we weren't in the most harmless of spots either. Let's put it that way.
Park.
Right.
Yeah.
So we arrived, and I just shout out to Congressman Banks. What was really, again, remarkable, I'm there with all these mainstream media outlets, and he grabbed me and my photog, said, come on, you're riding with me and our guide, which I think was really awesome to have that unlimited access to Congressman Banks. And what's really kind of disturbing, Pat, is I was able to spend a couple hours from about 11:30 in the evening until 1:30, 2 o'clock, give or take, in the morning, down at the wall along the Rio Grande Valley, with several congressmen and women, but also right alongside our congressman here in Indiana. And it's been really fascinating for me to come back. And while I'm on the plane, I'm actually reading coverage from the mainstream media and also from just some local media here in town that, that covered his trip, of how it was perceived locally versus nationally versus through my eyes. Quite frankly, I'm very disappointed how it was perceived by some of the media outlets.
Where a lot of people in the press think that, well, trips like this are because Banks is on a power trip. He wants a power trip.
Or he just wants a photo op.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry, you don't go traipsing through along the Rio Grande Valley in knee-high mud, and I'm going to call it fescue, grass, what, you know, with tarantulas the size of dessert plates. Genuine,
lovely
just,
Mrs. Miller. If you're listening, say that one more time. Tarantula's what size?
Like a dessert plate?
Yeah.
Not a full dinner plate. Okay. Let me be very clear. It's like dessert plate.
You have just nailed it down that Kim Miller will never now go down to La Jolla, Texas.
Yeah, and if you know me, I'm petrified of snakes. So that you know, they say be aware on these things, and I'm like, oh, Jesus, please. So I was like praying the whole time, you know.
Yeah. Jesus, take the wheel and kill the snakes.
Yeah, while you're at it. So this isn't like, hey, gonna go say cheese in front of the border wall experience. It was nothing like that. And I know we're getting up against the break, but maybe that's how we can kind of set up our next conversation.
Sure.
What I actually got to see and witness and what I saw on Congressman Banks' face myself with my own eyeballs that I feel like is not really quite being perceived the way I witnessed it anyway, which, again, we are all open to our own interpretations, I suppose.
Yeah.
But what I witnessed versus what some of the stories being told, it's just blowing my mind.
Even here locally by people that weren't even down there.
Correct.
So there you go. We'll do that. Kayla Blakeslee is here in the house. She's back home. So the first day she gets to McAllen, she gets to Best Buy. And it's, no, it's not because she had to go shopping. But when she realized some of the opportunities we were going to have, she needed a little additional equipment. So we took care of that. And then that night after dinner, when everybody's tucking down to go to sleep, she and a few others are with the congressman and some Border Patrol, and they are at the border. We'll talk to her more in the next segment right here on WoWo. And we're back talking with Kayla Blakeslee from WoWo, of course, from Fort Wayne's Morning News with Kayla Blakeslee. And Morning News was in Texas rather late. It wasn't in the morning at all. So when we left your story, you went through all the hassles of getting there. Now you're there on the Rio Grande. You're down there, McAllen, La Jolla. Mm-hmm. You're there with the congressman and some other members of the media that wanted to go, and also with some of the Border Patrol, and it's pretty dark and pretty dank right then, and it's not the way it's being portrayed by some as a beautiful photo op for the congressman.
No, and let me give you a really prime example of this. In La Jolla, it had just poured monsoons the day that we flew in. Fortunately, when we actually landed, it's like, oh, you know, the heavens parted and the rain did stop, but there's still a lot of mud, just mud galore where we were from all of this rain. And so when I say it was not just a photo op for the congressman or any other congressmen and women down there, which, again, I can't really speak to their intents, I suppose, but I primarily was with Congressman Banks the whole time. There was a moment our guide, we were, so the portion of the border wall that we were at was 21 miles long. And on both sides, it just ends because, as we know, construction was told to stop. And we checked out the one side where the construction just stopped. And our guide was taking us to the other side where the construction had stopped, just to be able to kind of compare and contrast the two sides. Well, as we're trying to get to that other side, there's just so much mud. I mean, it was covered in mud. Our vehicle got stuck. And our guide was mortified because there he is with the chairman of the RSC. He's leading this whole congressional delegation along the border.
A female journalist.
Yeah, so two journalists in the back, and because my photog was with me. And he was mortified, and he's like, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to track down Border Patrol to see if they can come pull us out. And my photog, actually, she's a Midwest girl. She's a great gal. She says, oh, well, Kayla and I can just get out and push. We'll relieve the weight in the back. He goes, no. We're going to get border. Like, and he kept apologizing to the congressman over and over and over again. So he takes off physically running. And there we are. I don't even know where we were along the Rio Grande Valley with a car stuck in the mud. It's literally me, my photog, and Congressman Banks. I look at the congressman. The congressman looks at me. He says, I've driven in snow my whole life. I go, yeah, get in there, congressman. We'll push you out. So Congressman Banks, in all his glory, hops in this car that's stuck in the mud. My photog and I, all 130 pounds of me, got behind this vehicle and we pushed the congressman out of this mud pit.
And he pulled it up out of the...
And he pulled it up out, got out of there, gave him a fist bump. I'd share that story. Yes, it's funny. And we laughed at the moment. And honestly, I couldn't even wear my jeans the next day. I ripped a hole in my jeans. I was covered in mud after the whole scenario. But I say that because Congressman Banks, I think sometimes all of our congressmen and women, we forget that they are humans. Sometimes I think we write them all off as slimy politicians, right?
Right.
We're all guilty of doing that one time or another. But that's how bad he wanted to get to the location where we were trying to go. And his face the whole time, you could see he was almost exhausted himself. Mm-hmm. Because you keep hearing these like really terrible stories over and over and over again. And it's exhausting and it's sad. In fact, I walked away from it thinking, this is not a Democrat thing. This is not a Republican thing. This is a sad thing.
Yeah, this is not red and blue.
No.
It's not.
It's really not. And I actually came up with that sentiment just watching Congressman Banks have some of the conversations he had because he looked really sad to me.
Yeah.
And I looked at his eyes. I'm standing right beside him. And I thought, you know, again, he's a dad.
Yeah.
He's got girls. He grew up not well off here in the area,
yeah,
you know.
Different than you had ever seen him before.
Different than
imagine.
I'd ever seen. And I've known the congressman for almost a decade now, prior to him even being in Congress. And so it was a very moving experience for me, not only to witness what I witnessed along the border wall, but to witness these men and women who are the leaders of our country, who sit in D.C. day after day, to see some of their reactions and to see their faces, specifically the congressmen's.
The congressman was different than you'd ever seen it. This is the first time you've ever witnessed anything at the border apart from seeing it on TV.
Yes.
And when you came in to the studio here just a few minutes ago, mm-hmm. one of the things you brought were two, for lack of calling them anything else, bracelets, which you brought back and you said, this is the story that's not being
it's
told.
It's not being told.
What is this?
This is mind-blowing to me. So I brought them back. So basically what is happening, I feel like we all hear these stories of little kids getting these bracelets that have their name and number or phone number to call for a relative either within the states or
right.
a relative back home to say, hey, I made it.
Right.
Here's my name. If those bracelets exist, I did not see any. I'm not saying that they don't, but the bracelets that I witnessed and that I brought back for you to see and anyone else who would like to see them are bracelets labeled with gang names. We call them a lot of cartels ourselves. We call them smugglers. A lot of Border Patrol agents and some of the translators we have, they tend to refer to them as gangs. And so what's happening is these kiddos are not traveling with mom or dad. A lot of mom and dads are paying coyotes or smugglers certain fees to get their kids across. So if you are going to be in one of those gangs,
right.
these kids or in adults, they get slapped a bracelet on their wrist that has the name of the gang to show one of two things, either A, proof of payment. For example, if mom decided to, you know, send her son across and mm-hmm. here I'm paying this coyote X amount of fee to do so. They say it could range anywhere from about $4,000 to $10,000 to do so.
So that's basically her receipt.
So it's her receipt. And then the other point of receipt is if they just find a migrant child or person walking along, these gangs will grab them, put them in their troop, so to speak, slap them on with this bracelet. And basically they're drug mules and they're sex slaves. So on these bracelets, they actually have the name of the gangs. So the ones that I brought to you, many of them say, and I don't speak Spanish, so I had to ask for them to be interpreted for me. But most of the bracelets say the word, what I'm told means deliveries or packages. So the other one that I brought to you, what I was told, it's a reptile, but for sake of English, I'm told it means lizards. So you get your bracelet and you know that you're in the said gang. Once you have made their drop at a checkpoint, whether it be drugs, sex, or what have you, they cut the bracelet off once you have completed delivery, once you have completed your task for them. And then they tell these migrants, you need to go down this rest of this trek for about 2 miles straight, take a right at the dirt road, and find the white bus, if you will.
We're going to find out what that means when we come back. Find the white bus. So why, if I'm a drug cartel guy, if I'm a great big mafia guy, why do I care if this little kid finds liberty in the United States? Why am I putting my bracelet on this kid and sending him across the border? What's he doing for me? We'll find out from Kayla after the news. They're doing a lot, and we'll find out straight ahead. And thanks for the news, and now we're all caught up with that. Let's now catch up with the news again from down on the border. And Kayla, listen, after everything, Thanks for carving out time coming in this afternoon to
no
be
problem.
Here with
this
us.
This is my day off, just so you know.
I'm aware of that. But you,
anything
but,
for you, Patrick.
But you've got to be exhausted.
I'm wiped. My photog and I did the math. We were up for, so in a 42-hour span, we slept 3 hours. And no, we did not shower because we only had like a three-hour window to sleep, and we thought sleep was more important than the
well,
shower.
And folks, just know this. We did require on the Pat Miller program that she, in fact, did shower before she got here
exactly,
today.
Exactly, yeah.
So we talked about at the story that you said just really doesn't get told. You see scores and scores and scores of these little bracelets that have been cut off of young people. If you look at Kayla's, some of her reports that she's done on Facebook, go to WoWo1190 on Facebook, and you can see a lot of her visual reports that she did. And on one of them, the night that you did your midnight walk along the border, I actually saw one of the white buses in the background on that walk.
Yeah, so we were talking about these bracelets before the break, and I feel like that's just the untold story right now, or at least the story that I heard, you know, because all I can do is share and tell exactly what I saw and what I heard. And the bracelets even got brought up because as we were walking for that kind of midnight tour, if you will, the pathways, the ground is littered with these bracelets. They're everywhere. It's easy. I brought in two of them. It's easy to just bend down and pick them up. They're covered in mud because it was awfully
muddy. We'll put a picture of these bracelets.
Yeah, I'll
up.
Take a picture of them for sure. So we kind of just said it last break. These children, these folks trying to cross over, if they run into any kind of, again, I keep using the word gang because that's how they referred to them along the southern border, but cartels, smugglers, coyotes, what have you. You get slapped on the bracelet. You have to go with their troop, do pretty much what they say. There's really not a lot of options for you if you don't, if you know what I mean. And so if I'm part of such gang, the Lizards here, that's one of the bracelets I have in, you're basically going to do as you're told. A lot of times it's smuggling of the drugs, that you have to take those drugs to said checkpoint, which there's usually folks on the other side that can take that off your hands for you. And then they snip that bracelet right off of you. Like, done. Your job for us is done.
Yeah.
In some cases, I'll get to that in a moment. They snip the bracelet off you, hence why they're littered just everywhere on the ground. And then from there, they will say to these migrants, you need to walk 2 miles straight that way. Look for a white bus. We kept hearing that from translators all the time, these migrants.
And they're saying this to 8 and 10-year-old kids.
Kids. It's amazing, Pat. These gangs, coyote smugglers, know more about our southern border than we do.
Yeah.
It was mind-blowing to me that you heard almost the same exact story. And that's, I'm like, unless an interpreter's making it up, Pat, which I don't know why they would change the story of an 8-year-old boy to an 18-year-old girl, to a woman that we saw, you know. So this is what the story that keeps getting told. So these coyotes are braceleting up their team members, if you will. They're trafficking drugs across the border, trafficking sex as well. And then once you have completed your task or tasks, you're clipped out of the gang. There goes your bracelet. And sure enough, there's I'm going to call it a makeshift site. I don't know what to call it. You can check it out on Facebook for yourself. I took video of it. There's a small makeshift little tent, for example, that these migrants can come and have a seat under to get out of the elements because it was pouring down rain, for example, the day when I said we flew in. And sure enough, there's a big white bus there. And so what happens is once these migrants kind of reach this point, they are, I'm going to say, loosely processed. It's, hey, where are you from? What's your name? Do you have any family here? Is any family with you? Because they also story that's not being told. Very seldom are they actually relatives related at all.
Yeah.
They.
Well, you told me on the phone, even when you see a family unit, looks like a mom and dad and maybe two or three kids. It's not a real family unit.
It's not a family unit at all. In fact, the family unit that Banks and I, we saw walking up the side of the road, we were able to track down a translator and speak with them. And I keep saying 8-year-old boy because this particular boy was found by two teenage girls in this group. These two teenage girls are from Venezuela. He was from Honduras. And basically, they just found him. I don't know. A lot of it gets lost in translation. They found him and said, come with us. We're going to where you're going. And then the woman was from a different country as well. So what looked like a family unit to us originally, truly, I think we even said in a video, oh, there's a family right there. Come to find out, they didn't have a clue who they were.
So not every time, but a lot of times when we hear this thing about, well, the previous administration ripped these children from the arms of their mother and yada, a lot of times when they come across the border, that's not their mom. And they've actually been sent across by a cartel.
Correct. And there's also the scenario of, and I can't remember who said it, and a congressman said it really well, but he said, we're in such a backlog when it does come to seeking asylum in this country, right? We know that that waiting in line is dumb. Showing up with a kid is the smartest thing you can do. That's a direct quote. I wrote it down from Congressman Daryl Issa out of California.
Okay.
To me, that spoke to me. So a lot of times they might come over, you know, some folks might say, hey, this is my son or daughter.
Was not.
That's not the case.
Yeah.
There are, I'm sure, situations where 100% that they are.
Yeah, but sometimes what's happening is you have drug cartels using the kids to get their stuff across, and sometimes you've got adults lobbying onto these kids to become part of their scenario so they can get
in. You heard me saying, I'll make it quick because I know we're up against the break, where I said sometimes they snip the bracelet off, right? Sometimes, once they've made their drop.
But sometimes they don't?
Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they make that, I'm going to say child, teen, adult, turn their butt right back around and essentially start to move more drugs. So essentially they truly are just drug mules running back and forth for whatever gang that they have happened to get swallowed up into on this journey. That's why I say sometimes they clip the bracelet off. That's the new problem that they're seeing. The cartels have made this a multi-billion dollar business. They bring in, I've got the number written here somewhere, just over $1 million every month roughly right now. In terms of fentanyl, this is the one thing that's just blew my mind. Congressman Buddy Carter brought up this stat. They have brought across since January, the cartels, enough fentanyl to kill every single American 4 times.
Excuse me?
4 times. And that's the fentanyl
just
packed
this year?
Yes, since January. That's the fentanyl that they have seized that we know of. So when the congressman said that, that really struck a chord for me, because all I could think in my brain is, what's the number that we don't know
of? Yeah, exactly right.
So when people ask, and this kind of surprised me, but when people ask, why do I care in Fort Wayne, Indiana? Why do I care in Grable? Why do I care in Elkhart? If you care about these kinds of drugs reaching your community, that's why you care about this. First and foremost, I have a bucket list of reasons why.
Yeah. But there could be kids right now strung out in Elkhart and in Grable because of what's come across the border just this January.
Just this January.
That's
exactly.
Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
Mind-blowing.
I told Kayla when she came on today, this is not the political part of what's going on down there. But
I'm going to
turn her political just a little bit. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but I know that there's some kind of a bee in her bonnet that she cannot wait to let it out. So this last segment might be the most volatile of all of them. Kayla, again, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, I appreciate you letting me share for a whole hour on your show.
I know. You'll be invoiced. So there you go. Kayla Blakesley from Fort Wayne's Morning News, and also, and I'm very proud to say, the only local reporter that was down on the border this week, and she did it by virtue of Congressman Banks and because of you right here in Wobo Land. We'll be back with more straight ahead. And we are back with our last little segment. From Kayla Blakesley, having been to the border. And I'm going to say this now in case I forget to say it later. You call her Mama Kim, but Mama Kim and I love you a great deal. But
likewise.
But I've got to tell you that with a lot of stuff that's happened in the last couple of years, and especially your accounts this week, understanding you as a journalist, I do that now more than I think I ever have. And I appreciate not just who you are, but what you've become.
Well, I appreciate that.
And I'm hoping all you guys out there listening, I hope you realize what we have here. Because somewhere between your program and my program and what you do, some of the political outreaches I do, to have a guy running your newsroom like Darren Wright, we have a pretty unique thing going on here.
We have a team. We've got the best, I think, in the business. But I could tell you right now, Pat, a lot of folks told me to cross the border and not come back. So not everyone shares your your feelings.
They say that to me from right here. Okay, Kayla, let me ask you. I kind of halfway promised you, and I'm breaking a promise against you, and I haven't broken a promise to you, I don't think, since the last time I broke a promise to you. But I said we wouldn't get overtly political.
But
a couple things.
It.
When you talked about the fentanyl, forgive me, Donald Trump was right. Because the drug thing was one of the main things that he pushed right from the start. And everybody's like, okay, he's just saying the drug thing so people go along with him. The drug problem is enormous.
The drug problem is beyond real. In fact, I think that was I have several takeaways, but I think that's one of my big takeaways. Yes, it's a humanitarian crisis. Do not get me wrong.
Right.
But I think first and foremost, it's a national security crisis. I think that, like I said it earlier in the show, that these smugglers, these gangs, these cartels know our southern border better than we do.
Yep.
And the proof is in the pudding.
Well, and you saying it's a national security crisis. Tom Homan will be with me in September in Washington, D.C. was the former head of ICE, he'll say exactly the same thing.
Please, and have an in-depth conversation about it, because I walked away thinking of how easy it would be to just inundate this country. It's already happening with these numbers in terms of drugs that we heard. I'm almost speechless about it. I just wasn't expecting to hear the numbers.
Yeah.
That I heard, which takes me to takeaway number two. So first and foremost, yes, I think it's a national security crisis. Yes, I think it's a humanitarian crisis second. Right. And that's my interpretation. Yeah. In fact, I wouldn't even use the word crisis. I walked away, I was telling my photog, we were sitting on the plane, and I just feel like I've been deep thought for really intensely for the past 3 days. I said, I don't even know if crisis hits the nail on the head for me. I'd call it just a downright mess.
Yeah.
Because you then also have politics that comes into play. Yes, it's a mess because there are some genuine families who have the best intentions. I'm seeking a better life. There's a glimmer of hope that I might be able to get it if I make this 1,500-mile journey. And so there is some truth to that, I believe. And that's, you know, and that breaks my heart. But then you work in these drug cartels and these gangs, and that's where that heartbreak gets.
Let me ask you another question, as long as you're willing to go a little political.
Where my mess is going.
Do you think that the border experience that you had this week is the same border experience that Kamala Harris had last week?
You take me to my next takeaway from this experience. And I'll be honest, and I know I might get frowned on for saying this, but I went into the experience not being a big Kamala Harris fan, and I try to refrain from saying that when I'm on the air.
Sure.
But I can't help myself walking away from this. She's an absolute joke. Her trip to El Paso,
Really, tell me how you feel.
Yeah, with a capital J, joke. And here's why I say it. She has pounded the same talking point from day one. She's put in charge of this issue, as it likes to be referred to. I'm calling it a mess. She's been in charge of trying to come up with some solutions to this mess. And her solution from day one has, let's get to the root cause. Why it's so bad in Guatemala, why it's so bad in Venezuela, why it's so bad in Honduras. To send your kid to make this trek, right? We've heard that talking point over and over and over again. And while there may be some truth to that, I am a firm believer in finding the root cause to any issue, right?
Yeah.
First and foremost, you can't stop in the midst of your ship going down sinking. You don't stop and think, what caused the hole in my ship?
Yeah. Yep.
You stop the water from leaking first.
Yeah. If you're bleeding, you got to put a tourniquet on first, stop the flow of blood, and then solve the problem.
Exactly. So number one, biggest joke. Right? We got to stop this bleeding first before we address the root cause. Second, whether you have the best intention or not to cross the southern border, I'll go ahead and say every single migrant has the best intention, right? They mean well. They're truly with their family. Let's say they all 100% best intention. It does not matter because what these cartels and gangs have done, turning this into a multi-billion dollar business for the year.
Yeah.
Of what they're doing to traffic their drugs into our country, to traffic these girls for sex, it makes me want to vomit. So while you're busy trying to find the root cause, you're allowing this billion dollar business take foothold. And it's just getting worse. And I have said it, and I'm going to write an op-ed about it because I'm that passionate about it, if you can't tell. A day of reckoning is coming.
Yeah. And it has to.
It has to.
Because, and not just for the safety and security of these people being used across the border, but what it is they're being used to bring over. You stand a chance right now for your sweet daughter, who just turned a year old, of her having a life of hell on earth because of what's coming across the border.
Because of what is coming across the border. Yep. That is my second takeaway. That is the biggest joke, and I wish I could talk to her myself. That's how I just walked away saying, wow, your focus right now is the root cause. Really? That's the focus to solve this issue?
I've never seen that vein stand up in your forehead
before.
Yeah,
I'm telling you. My photog, I just let her have it. You know, I was essentially practicing it on her, just let it all out, because I cannot say that is the biggest joke to me I have ever heard. I'm appalled by it, which takes me to, you know, takeaway number three, and it's unfortunately not that glamorous. I walked away feeling like, and this might not be the best interpretation, that sorry, Congressman Banks, if you're hearing this, when speaking with members of the RSC, when speaking with members on the right, there's just not a lot that can be done without them winning back the House. And they were pretty, they have solutions to the problem, right? And we talked about a number, but they can't implement them. And so, unfortunately, I walked away from this trip, and I think just kind of like, dang, there's this mess, right? Yeah. And unfortunately, I don't really feel like there's much being done to resolve the mess, nor do I think there's much that can be done to resolve the mess right now.
Yeah. Well, let me politicize. As long as Pelosi and Schumer are in charge of the two houses of Congress, there really is little that can be done.
Yeah.
That's why, in my view, the next election, this midterm, is almost more important than the next presidential election. Because if we can get this handled, you'll stymie what the White House can
do. That's exactly what I said. I was speaking to another congressman while we were there, and I said, wow, as much as I thought the next election was important, just on this issue alone.
Yep.
If you care about drugs reaching your little town, if you care about busloads of migrants coming, that's real. I've confirmed that with Border Patrol myself, had many conversations about, you hear about busloads of migrants coming into different cities and towns, then, oh yeah, catch and release. That's what's happening, baby. You know, if you care about any of those things, I would encourage you then to care about this issue.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to care about the issue.
You got to care about the
issue. You have to. Thank you so much.
Thank you. If you can't tell, I care about it.
I can tell.
It's never really been at the top of my list of conversations to have. I'll be honest. You know this about me. I don't spend a lot of time talking even about immigration on my show, simply because I felt like I never could, you know? But now that I've been there and I've seen it and I've had...
Well, you have a point of connection now with it. I would suggest people check out WoWo1190 on Facebook. See your videos. I would suggest they follow.
I got more coming too.
They follow your podcast. I look for her podcast all the time. You Tell Me with Kayla Blakeslee, and check that out. Right after we get done here, you're leaving the building. Jim Banks will be on with me in the next hour, so we get his take.
Tell him I said hi. Haven't seen him in a whole 24 hours.
Tell him you said hi. And, oh, by the way, you might want to catch the very end of her comments there. Kayla, thanks so much.
Thanks, Patrick.
Back with more right after this.
Podcasts by Federated Media.